to Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last week, the National Council on Teacher Quality, or NCTQ, released a roadmap to enhance teacher effectiveness in Pittsburgh public schools. The report was commissioned by the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh and A-Plus Schools. Joining me now in Studio A to address how teachers in Pittsburgh and the Commonwealth can improve is Kate Walsh. She is CEO of the National Council on Teacher Quality. Kate Walsh, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Your state teacher policy yearbook gave Pennsylvania a grade of C- for teacher effectiveness policies. Why is that?
Well, believe it or not, it's not a terrible grade for our yearbook. We don't grade on a curve. It's the average grade for all states. And the highest grade any state got was a B+, so there aren't even any A's. But what we're doing is we're looking at a profession that is in ill health. The teaching profession, by every indicator, is not as strong as it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. Ask any teacher, look at any surveys. The profession is not as well situated as it once was.
Do we know why that is?
A lot has changed in the past half century. When teachers went into the profession in the mid part of the last century, they didn't have a lot of other opportunities. So women and talented minorities went in droves into teaching. And now they have a lot of other options. So the profession is not the sole employer that it once was. And we've also seen a lot of anachronistic policies about pay. So if you're a really great teacher, you're not ever going to earn any more than the teacher next to you who may not be so great. Lots of things like that. We're trying to get the profession to modernize.
And are there challenges such as population, financial support, and available resources unique to different parts of the country that impact teacher effectiveness, in addition to what you're saying about the options that talented young teachers have?
The challenges are not unique in one part of the country, but there's certainly greater challenges in our urban districts. That's where the most poverty resides. And when we're talking about educating kids who grow up in poverty, it's a lot more challenging, and it takes a lot of skills to do it well. Unfortunately, in the United States, our response to that has been a dual education system where middle-class kids get one system of education, and it's decent, not great, but it's decent. Parents are generally pleased. I would argue that they shouldn't be as pleased as they seem to be sometimes. But then the kids who are in high poverty schools have tended to get the short end of the stick. We know that they get the least talented teachers by and large. That's not to say there aren't some fabulous teachers teaching in high poverty schools, but on average, the quality isn't as great. And that's the first thing you need to look at when you're trying to raise quality.
What you're describing sounds like part of the age-old problem in the United States. Going back to the whole reason why schools were desegregated, that in high poverty areas, you just didn't have a good quality of teaching, and you're saying that persists today.
It definitely persists. The nation has put a lot of resources, a lot of money at the federal level, at the state level, trying to close the gap that exists between affluent kids or middle-class kids and poor kids. They've not been that successful. The one thing I think is important for people to understand is they tend to hear that and they go, well, it's just impossible. You can't educate poor kids. There are schools all over this country that do educate poor kids and do it very well. But an even better example is if you look overseas. The United States, ironically, given the reasons for which we were founded, does a worse job than almost any developed country in the world at closing that gap. We do a very, very poor job educating poor kids. And that's just the ultimate irony that our nation, founded for democracy and our commitment to public schools, has come to accept that poor kids can't learn. And that's just not acceptable.
Don't want to be too stuck on the whole grade thing, but you know, I guess I haven't changed a lot since I was a kid carrying that report card home. So here we are with the C- grade, but apparently this is a grade that actually improved over last year. Mm-hmm. So what accounts for this improvement?
Pennsylvania is a lot like other states around the nation that addressed some of their issues with how they license teachers and how they evaluate teachers. There's been some work looking at how teachers get evaluated. And what was found out that no matter what district teachers were working in, they were all found to be exemplary. So you'd see consistently from one district to another, 98% evaluation ratings was the highest rating you could get. And then you looked at how the kids were performing, and it wasn't nearly anywhere near 98% of all kids doing great. Now, obviously, there's other factors than the quality of the teacher, but the quality of the teacher matters. So if we're all doing such a perfect job, why are our schools in the shape they're in? So any employer will tell you they need to be able to distinguish between qualities of individuals, not because they need to fire everybody, but because they need to attend to teachers' individual needs. So there's been a very big push in state houses, state legislatures, and school boards to develop systems that would allow us to more meaningfully evaluate teachers. So Pennsylvania is one of the states that got on board and did that kind of work.
Last summer, Act 82 was signed, requiring school districts across the state to use a system where principal observation only consists of half of teacher evaluations, with the other half coming from student outcomes, including assessment tests. Do you think this is a good system for evaluating teacher effectiveness?
I think it's essentially the right idea. I would quibble a little bit with how the state decided the percentages. I mean, you want to look at multiple measures. You don't want it just to be based on one thing. I think that actually that the system in Pittsburgh is a little bit better than what they developed at the state level. The evaluation system they developed in Pittsburgh doesn't put as much weight on building-wide factors. So a teacher is held accountable for the learning that takes place in his or her classroom. The state system puts a little bit more weight on what's happening in the whole school building, which I don't think is as fair to teachers.
It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking with Kate Walsh. She is CEO of the National Council on Teacher Quality. Let's look at some of the specific findings and recommendations for the Pittsburgh Public Schools. I realize that we wouldn't have time to go through all of it, but what are some things that jump out at you in terms of some negatives and some very significant positives?
There's no question. This is a district that's done a lot of good things in the past few years. We're seeing the district has, as I said, come up with a new evaluation system for teachers that is meaningful. That makes sense, right? And accompany that with a different salary schedule. You know, in this country, we've been paying teachers to get endless amounts of graduate credits. And that's been how they earned pay raises, is to keep going back and getting credits. And the funny thing is, the research says those credits never make teachers more effective, or if they do, it's pretty rare. So there are districts like Seattle where teachers effectively have to earn 3 master's degrees if they want to get to the highest salary. Well, Pittsburgh hasn't been as bad as Seattle, but it too bought into this idea that the more credits you earn, obviously that's how you earn more money. So this district is now saying, no, if you're effective, you're going to qualify for more meaningful positions. You're going to qualify for greater pay, so that now the system makes it possible for teachers who, if you're a solid performer, you can make more money in Pittsburgh than you can in any other surrounding districts.
How much of the success or failure of a public school district comes down to money? So many aspects of society are financially strapped and challenged, and Pittsburgh's public school system is no stranger to that. So as school systems like ours work through budgetary challenges, how much does that impact the overall effectiveness for teachers, especially when financial constraints might limit the number of teachers available or classroom size, that kind of thing?
If this were all about money, the problem would have been solved. So it isn't. It isn't about money. That doesn't mean money doesn't matter, because money allows you to do some things. But right now, if you look across the board and you try to correlate between districts that are spending a ton of money per student with student results, there's no correlation. So that doesn't mean that you can't do a lot with money, but we haven't figured out how to do it very well. So financial resources are a factor. Here in Pittsburgh, you're spending about $18,000 per student. We would argue that for the same amount of money, but redistributed, you could get better results. So it isn't that money doesn't matter, but we do need to learn how to spend it differently than we are currently. Too often, we're unwilling to sacrifice anything to advance what we need to do.
Have any of the recommendations that have been made been implemented anywhere else in the country, and have they been successful, or is it too early to tell?
Oh, yeah. There are districts all over the country that are working on some of these issues. One of the things we talked about in our report is Pittsburgh does what most districts do when a teacher loses his or her job because enrollment changes. So a teacher could be working in John Smith Elementary, and that the enrollment changes and he loses his position in that school. Well, by state law, the district has to find him a new job. He's not employed by the school. He's employed by the school district. So there's a contractual obligation that we think is not a good idea. We think you ought to be employed for the position that you hold. And if you lose that position and you can't persuade another principal to hire you, then the district should not be obligated to keep you on roll. But that's not the case in Pennsylvania. It's not the case in most states. Well, in the past few years, districts have started to look at that. Even some states have changed their laws saying, if you can't find a principal who wants to hire you, we'll give you a couple of hiring seasons. And if you can't, sorry, you need to go find another job elsewhere in another district. We're not contractually obligated. Well, in Pittsburgh, a teacher loses her job, and the district is in the habit of force placing a teacher in a new school, whether the principal wants that teacher or not. And that's really a tough thing to say to a principal. Like, we're holding you accountable for results, but you don't get to decide who delivers those results. It's not the way to run a good school.
And that's because that's stipulated by state law.
That's a state law that's in place in almost every state. So what a lot of districts have started doing is saying, if no principal wants you, we're not going to force place you. And we will give you an early buyout. We will put you on the substitute role. We will have you co-teach in a classroom. But we're not going to force a principal to put you in a classroom. That's a costly decision that is very hard for a district to swallow. It is an expense because it costs a lot less to have a substitute than it does to have a teacher on full salary and benefits. But it is what we have to do until state legislatures realize that if no principal in a district wants to hire a teacher, then the problem is not with the principal. The problem is with that teacher.
And do you get input from teachers when compiling this report? And if so, what do teachers here in Pittsburgh say that they need to make them more effective?
You know, we always survey both principals and teachers. That's one of the ways we find out what principals feel about their ability to hire. And then we also ask teachers what it is they feel about their placement in schools or whether they're getting the right amount of support. And one of the things we learn from teachers is new teachers don't feel like they're getting the kind of support they need when they start teaching here in the district. That's a very, very common answer that we get. Novice teachers generally feel a little frightened, frustrated, and they often go home with a headache. It's really, really tough to learn how to teach. One of the things that is a problem in this country is we don't prepare teachers very well. And we actually looked at the preparation teachers are getting in some of the institutions that are providing Pittsburgh with its teachers. And they do a very poor job in both reading instruction, teaching teachers how to teach reading, which is job one of an elementary school teacher. And they also don't do a very good job making sure that teachers know any mathematics who are going to be in an elementary classroom. So we encourage the district to start putting pressure on those institutions and say, look, if you're going to keep providing us with teachers, you're going to have to do a better job.
We often hear about chronic absenteeism among students. However, 11% of Pittsburgh public school teachers missed 3 days or fewer. But 18% of teachers missed 18 or more days of school last year. So what do you say about this?
the district has a real problem with absenteeism. It has teachers that show up to school every day in and day out, but it's got about a quarter of its teachers who are absent once every 10, 12 days, which is just unacceptable. You can't learn if you're not there to teach.
Most people are aware of student absenteeism, but I'm sure the problem of teacher absenteeism never occurs to them.
Absolutely, and Pittsburgh's not unique. We're actually putting a report out on this in a few weeks, and it shows that in big districts across the country, not that teachers in general aren't showing up for work, but that there is a minority, and in this case, it's about 20-25% who are frequently to chronically absent. And there do not seem to be any measures in place to impede that absenteeism. So, you know, that's interesting. Where is the cultural expectation that you go to work every day? It's not here.
Kate Walsh is CEO of the National Council on Teacher Quality. Ms. Walsh, thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me.
And more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In our previous segment, which was recorded based on National Council on Teacher Quality, Kate Walsh's availability, we discussed the report by the National Council on Teacher Quality claiming that city teachers were absent an average of 12 days last year. I'm joined now by Nina Esposito-Vizgaitis. She's president of the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers for her reaction to the report. Nina Esposito-Vizgaitis, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much.
And I'll mention that you are joining us, as we just heard, by phone from the end of the year teacher evaluation session for the Pittsburgh Public Schools held at the Greenway Professional Development Center. And so you heard, I believe, a good part of the previous segment, and the issue of teacher absenteeism came up. It seems to be grabbing the headlines as of late. As far as you are concerned, is teacher absenteeism a problem in the Pittsburgh public schools?
You know what? I was really bothered by this piece from NCTQ when she mentioned that there were no measures in place to impede absenteeism. That is definitely not the truth. I would like to know where she got her numbers. Our district has a strict attendance policy. Believe me, any teacher can tell you that. And we've had some people, unfortunately, literally lose their job over tardiness or attendance issues. You are literally, I don't know how much in detail you want me to get, but you are literally called in after you have 6 1- or 2-day absences. There are employee improvement plans for people who are chronically absent. So I was disappointed to hear that. I would like to see her numbers and what she used, because I think there were a lot of misinformation in the study about absenteeism. I mean, I could go on and on.
Well, I was going to ask you,
it is.
And I understand how you feel about this, and I was going to ask you about the attendance policy for teachers in the district, but I think you just explained that. So you're saying that after six absences, you are called in?
Oh, yes, 1 or 2 day absences. And if it does seem to be a problem with you, you're put on a plan to improve it.
Did the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers, were they offered the opportunity to provide input in this study done by NCTQ?
You know what? We were allowed to see the draft of it. I know a number of our members chose not to participate in it, and it was not something that we advocated to our members, because I think it's very important to understand that NCTQ is an advocacy group, not an objective research group. And though we respect, that's fine, but that's why we did not support this group or encourage our members to participate in it.
There was a Pittsburgh Public Schools teacher who recently wrote a letter published in the Post-Gazette saying that he worked 12 days when he was not in the classroom, including a field trip to CMU where students studied architecture, drew, and wrote poetry that was published. What about his point, and were things like this, as far as you know, taken into consideration by the National Council on Teacher Improvement?
No, absolutely not. There are a number of reasons The teachers certainly are on the job, but they may not be, you know, it may be counted against them. For example, if you have an IEP meeting, the teacher gets a sub because you're going to be out of your classroom for an hour with a very important IEP meeting. That's being used against our teachers. That is not appropriate. If your parent passes away, which is an awful situation, you may get funeral days. You will get funeral days off. So I think that their study did not look close enough at the things that teachers are doing when absences are marked against them. There are a number of situations when you are in the classroom that maybe a professional development day or someone covering for you so you could cover a meeting. I don't think they were very thorough, and I would be shocked if it was 18% of our teachers that truly missed, were out of school for 18 days.
What is your take on the NCTQ's on the part of the report that they gave in which Pennsylvania teachers were given a C-minus grade for teacher effectiveness? Now, again, this is statewide, not just the city of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that was very concerning. I know, as you said, I'm at our teacher evaluation end of the year wrap up here. Pittsburgh has been on the forefront of developing our own teacher evaluation system called RISE, which has been touted as one of the strongest in the state, if not the strongest, if I may brag a little bit, and has been looked at from districts across the country. Based on Charlotte Danielson, we're really pleased with the work that our teachers and administrators have done to make it a Pittsburgh product. It really is a growth and evaluation system.
One of the topics that came up in the interview with Ms. Walsh was the displacement of teachers. If the number of students decreases or staffing changes, what plan is in place if or when a teacher is displaced?
You know, considering we have well over 2,000 teachers, you can imagine what a process that is to move teachers or when teachers are displaced. There are very stringent rules, once again, in place for when a school shrinks. You want to keep continuity. You want to keep people there who have done a good job at the school, who the neighborhood knows, the community knows. So there are rules for displacing by your building seniority. And then that person is given the person who is displaced is given the opportunity to apply to other schools, and they will go on interviews at other schools in our district. But you can imagine how huge that is when you have over 2,000 teachers trying to keep track of that if you don't have very stringent rules, which we do.
If teachers are laid off, should those layoffs be performance-based?
You know what? I believe, and I this is my belief, and I do believe it should be by seniority, because our teachers are under a very stringent evaluation program, such as RISE, which we are very proud of, very stringent. They have been rated satisfactory. So I do believe that seniority is clearly the most fair and equitable way to choose. It's not a favoritism system. It's not a who-you-know system. It's by straight seniority, since our teachers have been rated satisfactory under a very stringent system.
So then are you concerned that school districts could use merit basis as a means to get rid of higher-paid teachers?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have that is a concern of our teachers. That always has been, for financial reasons, that you would keep the younger teachers who make less. Absolutely, that is a big concern.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Nina Esposito-Viscaitis, president of the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers, gaining her reaction to a report that was issued by the National Council on Teacher Quality. They released a report on how to improve teacher effectiveness in the Pittsburgh public schools, some of which Ms. Esposito-Viscaitis has taken some issue with, as well as some of the members of the Pittsburgh Public Schools Teachers Union. And I might ask you, the National Council on Teacher Quality is considered an advocacy group. But wouldn't some say the same thing about the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers, whose concern is teachers, obviously? And then one might logically ask, who is advocating for the students?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I think history will show us out that teachers and our union have always been the biggest advocate for our students. here in Pittsburgh and a number of other places also. That's why we were such big proponents, why I am here today working on a teacher evaluation system. We want every student in the Pittsburgh Public Schools to have an effective teacher. It's also why the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers is working so hard to promote community schools in our district. We want to make sure that the whole child is educated, and that's why we've been such a big proponent on the forefront of that. So I think we've demonstrated ourselves that we do care about our students greatly, and of course we care about our teachers too.
If you'd like to join the conversation with our guest, Nina Esposito-Vizcaitis, president of the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers, you can call 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. And on Twitter, at esspgh. Follow the conversation at #EPLive. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. What are the ways that you think that teacher quality can be improved? And maybe you have suggestions for how things can be improved in general within the Pittsburgh Public Schools. We'd like to hear from you. 412-246-2002. Nina Esposito-Vizcaitis, we know money is an issue in school districts. Some obviously have more than others. My question to you is, where do you spend the money for students?
You know what? And that's why we are looking ahead to the innovative approach that a number of other districts across our country has used and truly make our schools community-based schools that wrap their arms around the entire child and his or her family, which I think is exciting. So many of our children, we know that poverty is a big issue. Kids need effective teachers, but they also need to know they are safe and fed and warm. And so we look at the entire child, and we advocate for a community school model that would provide wraparound services that are needed for our kids so they can come to school ready to learn and have parents supported so they can better help their kids.
We have a tweet from Daryl who says, are the forced hire rules in place due to pressure from teachers' unions?
What do you mean forced hire? You mean the displacement?
I believe that's what he's referring to. I'm looking at the tweet, and that's what I'm getting from it.
Well, as Daryl, if he listened to Ms. Walsh before, that is a part of state law. It is a part of the school code. Of course, in our contract, there are specific rules for displacements for people. As I said, with 2,000 teachers, you better have some specific rules where it's going to be mayhem, but that is part of the school code also.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Let's go to Chris in Greensburg. Chris, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, hi. My question is, I'm wondering the stats for the teachers who are missing the days. Does that take into account teachers who may be going through a prolonged illness themselves or possibly have a family member who's on a Family Medical Leave Act type of a case? You know, is that taken into account? Because that could have a big difference on those numbers.
Well,
also,
that's a good question, Chris. But let me just make sure we're clear. Are you saying that are you asking if a prolonged absence due to a personal situation or a family situation or personal illness, if those numbers were factored into the report by the National Council on Teacher Quality?
Yeah.
Okay.
If somebody has an illness where they're repeatedly off for treatment, I mean, that could really set those numbers off.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. Maybe Nina has the answer to that.
And Chris, I totally agree with you. That's why I question the numbers, because I know how accountable our teachers are held for absences. I know there are incentives to be in school. So the numbers shock me, and I do believe that, in my belief, that they are counting those kind of things like funeral days, the flu. If you get the flu, you know you're going to be out for 5 days at least. So
Nina, you're saying that they are taken into, they are added into the statistics?
That's what I'm assuming they are. I mean, I don't think they should be. That's not why I think we need to take a closer look at their statistics and what they use, because they do not add up to the reality that I live every day with working with teachers. Does not add up.
Chris, thank you for the call and your question. Let's go to Kathy in Squirrel Hill. Kathy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I guess I have a slightly different perspective. I've got two kids at Pittsburgh Linden, and you know, from what I can tell, their teachers are there most of the time, and their teachers are wonderful. I'm really frustrated at how much money has been spent on sort of the holy grail of teacher evaluation. There is so many things that I want for my kids in this school district, and we're about to lose another teacher and a half at our school, and we're really up in arms about it. And I am confident that my kids' teachers are excellent, and I am really tired of the district and other organizations spending so much money on what to me is a bit of a chimera. I think if we hire good teachers and we respect them and we trust them, at some point we need to leave them alone and let them do their job. So that's my perspective as a parent who cares deeply about education and is really committed to our kids having the best education they can have.
Well, Kathy, appreciate your comments. And Nina Esposito-Viscaitis, I'll let you respond.
You know what? Absolutely. It has been so heartening to me to see the support that so many of our teachers and community members and parents and community members give our teachers. Thank you so much, Kathy. Bravo. Thank you. That was very well said. And I'm glad that you are up in arms about losing teachers, Linda. That we hate to lose anybody. You're absolutely right.
Nina, how are Pittsburgh's teachers in the public schools evaluated, and how would you compare the ways in which they're evaluated to other parts of the state, other school districts in the state?
Well, as I said, we have been working on the RISE evaluation system, which stands for Research-Based Inclusive System of Evaluation, for people that don't know. We have been working on that for over 5 years now. It's a very stringent program based on the Charlotte Danielson model. It's a rubric, and you meet with your principal, you talk about your practice, which really is very exciting. Now, this year, Act 82 has come into effect from the state. So imposed on our RISE system, we also have an added measures, included value-added measures, which is based on test scores, TRIPOD, which is student perception surveys, and as well as your school VAM. So there are other points being added into that, into a multi-measured system. For some districts in the state, it is a brand new multi-measure system. Our teachers have had practice with it because we are ahead of the curve, I must say, when it comes to teacher evaluation. Some parts of the state system has impeded our system, which we thought was really good, which is unfortunate, but that is the system we're under now, Act 82.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Carrie in the Hill District, then we'll go to John in Pittsburgh. But Carrie, you're up first. Hi, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi, Carrie. Are you? This is Carrie in the Hill District, correct?
Yes, it's Carrie at A Plus Schools.
Oh, I beg your pardon. All right, I'm just reading what was on the screen. Carrie at A Plus Schools.
Yes.
Go ahead, and you wanted to. I guess you wanted to clarify some of the data in this.
Well, right. You know, you were talking a lot about the absenteeism data, which we were. You know, I think, you know, sort of understandably has gotten a lot of attention. So I just wanted to clarify a few things. First, that the footnote in the report basically says any absences of over 10 consecutive days were admitted for the purposes of this analysis, so that long-term leaves, including long-term sick leaves, would be excluded from the calculations.
So you're saying because we were speculating about that earlier,
right.
As far as you know, you know for a fact that the prolonged absences, the leaves for family reasons, prolonged illnesses, that those were not included in these statistics?
They were not. And, in fact, when NCTQ was asked that question when they were here last week, they also made that point in one of their presentations, at least one of them, that those were not included here. But I think, like, the bigger issue here is I don't think this is really a story about necessarily about teachers taking a lot of time off, right? I think many of these days are probably professional development days where, teachers were out of the classroom doing other things.
That was, and we referred to that earlier, the teacher who said that he took 12 days that included, among other things, going to CMU, taking his students on a field trip there where they studied architecture. And
right, and I doubt that would be included as a day absent, right, going on a field trip. We could clarify it. I think, and that's certainly not a day away from teaching, right? I think the real story here is that we, you know, this is the most important job in Pittsburgh. There are limited days that kids are in the classroom anyway, and I think the thing that we want to see is, for whatever reason, we need to all be doing our part to just make sure we have more time in the classroom. The district needs to make sure it's not taking teachers out of the classroom too frequently. You know, teachers can't help it if they get sick or whatever. You know, that's understandable, but being there is you know, at least half the battle. And I think it's the story is really about making sure that for whatever reasons, we're doing everything we can to make sure teachers and students are in the classroom every day.
Okay. May I respond?
Go ahead.
Because Mrs. Harris, I know you know this, but you know the district has very strict standards for people that are out. And the 10 days, that's a big chunk of days. I mean, that would not count funeral days if a member of your family died, and professional development days. Usually it does not hit 10 days. So I think it is still putting a bad light on our teachers for days when they are certainly at work less than the 10 days. So I do think it is not an appropriate explanation for our teachers and how much they are in the classroom.
Carrie, thank you.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, Carrie, thank you. We have to move on, but thank you for the phone call and your input. Let's go to John in Pittsburgh, our last call. John, go ahead very quickly if you could.
Call.
Yes, we're behind on time, so okay. If you could make your point or ask your question quickly, we appreciate
it. I was the teacher that wrote the letter that's in the Post-Gazette that you're referencing. And so the footnote that follows that question about 10 consecutive days does say clearly that professional development days where we're out of the classroom, which would include field trips, counts. And I agree with Nina. The reality is that the report could be really productive, but when it's skewed to sort of make a headline that says teachers are chronically absent, that does include a lot of us who are really enriching, I think, our students' educational experiences, but now are painted as teachers who are not attending school, which I think oftentimes would equate with a bad teacher. So I do think there are some really loaded language in the report and some use of statistics that's suspect.
Do you think, John, that the National Council on Teacher Quality was looking to get a reaction?
I can't speak to their motives. I do know that if you look at reports across the country from NCTQ, that they all look eerily similar. And I think that what they represent is basically a talking point about corporate education reform, and I don't look at them as a research organization. They are advocating for policy, and I think we just need to be really clear about the difference between those things.
Nina Esposito-Vizcaitis, your thoughts on what John is saying here.
I do agree with John. I do know our teachers are held accountable. I do know they're in the classroom. And don't forget, they're the days they're in the classroom, they need to be accountable for their VAM scores. I mean, they're held accountable for when they are there and how their kids score. So our teachers need to be there, and they are there.
What support should be provided for young teachers to help them grow?
That is a beautiful question. First of all, I think there are three things that our new teachers really do need. I think we need a strong instructional leader. We do need effective teachers in every classroom, but we need a strong instructional leader and a principal in every one of our schools. Someone that new teachers can look to, can go to for help. Plus, they need mentors of their own colleagues also. They need a mentor that they can go to and work with. And third is something that some districts have initiated. I would love to see it here in Pittsburgh, where new teachers are given a chance to literally work with seasoned teachers in a co-teaching model, where they can work together, hone their skills, see how the seasoned teacher does it, and move from there. I think that would be such a powerful model.
Last quick question. Do you agree with Ms. Walsh's statement regarding additional certification not making for more effective teachers?
You know what? From my own experience, I can't agree with that. I know
you cannot.
How much I learned when I got my master's degree. Plus, I went back. I was a speech therapist. I went back and got a reading specialist certification. Do you know how that helped me as a speech therapist to learn about reading and how I could tie them together? It was invaluable. I think everybody should go back for that. So I do disagree with her. I think we value education. We should show it through our teachers also. So I totally disagree.
Nina Esposito-Vizcaitis is president of the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers, joining us for her reaction to the report by the National Council on Teacher Quality. Ms. Esposito-Vizcaitis, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciated being on to talk.
Coming up, it's summer, unofficially. We'll look at the business of festivals. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.